Not one of your special videos downloading.
No, no. It's the tutorials how to make an offbeat.
Alibi Embedders in bits.
Welcome to In Bits with Alibi Embedders from RTL Noise Studios in London. I'm Matt Alibi. Embedders ain't ready, and he's got a mouthful of pizza.
Oh, I just swallowed way too quickly. Sorry,
ladies and gents.
Sorry, that sounded weird. Pizza. How are we? I'm Bedders. That pizza's amazing. I was just...
Sorry, I'm eating as well. It's disgusting.
Just in the pizzeria, and the I was sort of waiting there in the waiting area, and the Deliveroo driver turned up and shoved this giant screen with a number in front of my face. And I was like, okay, cool. And the woman at the counter started laughing.
Oh, what, he thought you were the person to take the order.
And she was like, why did he think it was you? And I was like, well, I do look like the most Italian person in here, I guess. And she was like, yeah, true.
Bloody delicious pizza.
Oh, it's lovely pizza.
Made of dough, Peckham.
Made of dough in Peckham.
South East London. Oh, they want a bloody good pizza.
Good Pete.
In this show, Bedders.
Yeah.
The great Torsten.
The tour de force.
The tour de force, that is.
The tornado, the meme machine.
Klopfgeister.
The funniest man on the trance scene, I think.
And we're going to get to that very, very quickly. I just thought I'd say Christmas vibes seem to be coming in now. And actually, this is news. We were actually going to end the whole season on this show.
Yeah.
It was going to be the big blowout. But we've just got too much fun to share.
There's too much gold material in there.
We're going to do one more next week. It'll probably be out next week.
Yeah, Christmas week.
Christmas week. It won't be a full sort of Christmas special, but it will be a holiday extravaganza. And we're going to have the full update on Bedders going to his fitness class, which you all voted for, which was the Voga fitness class, to find out just how well Mark did.
Yep.
If he embarrassed himself, which I'm banking on.
Yep.
Or if he is now a fully fledged member of House of Voga. And
I'm saying nothing until next week.
All right, keep tight lipped.
Klopf interview coming right up.
Alibi, Bedders, tonight in Bits with Alibi and Bedders.
Let's not waste too much of this man's time.
He's not having his
time. Can I have some drinking ticket?
Where's your beer?
Where's your beer? Did you, first of all, where are you? Did you manage to get to the beer shop this time before it closed? Because last time we heard from you, it was about to close the beer shop, and you were quite panicked.
I don't believe that beer shops in Hamburg close at 9 o'clock. What the fuck?
Yeah, I thought that was a forward-thinking town, Hamburg. Why is it shutting at 9? What's the deal?
Yeah, but it's because of Corona. At 10 o'clock, we have to stop selling beer here.
What?
What? I thought Germany was just like, do what you want.
They have a curfew. Yeah.
So it's the only city in Germany, but it's for a reason, because too many British tourists are here.
we brought the Delta.
By the way, here, cheers, guys.
Cheers, mate. Yeah. Good to see you.
I have my beer.
Good man.
Okay, we're not here for fun. Huh? I see. The connection is really bad here.
Oh, so annoying.
Let me just try to eliminate everything else.
Yeah, go for it.
Like the porn.
To get shut down all the background porno.
No. Sometimes it's Friday night. Everybody is streaming. Everybody is online. And sometimes the connection here is a little bit slow.
That's cool. Yeah. So we're just laughing with Ricardo behind you.
Every time you move, we see Ricardo Villalobos behind. Let's get to that. Yeah. What is the fascination with Ricardo Villalobos?
And by the way, we love it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, but there is a lot of content featuring Ricardo Villalobos that comes from your end.
I woke up someday and I thought I should make some Villalobos memes. And there is no deeper meaning behind there is no deeper meaning behind.
Yeah.
Of course, I like the memes done in the past by other people. And meanwhile, he's just like an iconic character. And I let him have several adventures from time to time. It's like mental training to see, okay, where could Ricardo go next?
Yeah.
It was one of the proudest moments of my life, other than my son being born, you making a Villalobos meme out of my face.
And it's
it
not,
was a really proud moment for me.
I read that somebody that some people really thought it was you.
Yeah, I had to put a disclaimer.
And it was a really shitty Photoshop work.
Yeah,
yeah. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was beautiful. It's beautiful. Don't put your work down.
There is no deeper meaning behind it. And I think if I meet him, he has the right to smack my face,
sure.
At least one teeth.
Yeah,
I should lose, because in the end it's bullying.
Yeah,
in the end it's bullying.
Online bullying.
I don't know how I would react if my face would be all over the internet, but this is the destiny of every meme.
Sure, and you,
it's true.
Are disconnected from their own personality, and they're just used as a symbol.
Yes.
Yeah. And
yeah, it's a symbol. Yeah.
But if I meet Ricardo the next time, I'm gonna be really shy. Hey, yeah. You're my big idol.
Yeah.
You're
my big idol. Big my meme idol.
You the memes. Yeah. One or two. But
what is the ratio we wanted to ask? Studio time to meme making. Is there a kind of ratio on that?
I try to be 10 hours in the studio every day.
Yeah.
And I don't have any internet in the studio.
Sure. Okay.
So. I did it on purpose because I don't want to be distracted by anything.
Sure.
If
sure.
it's good news or bad news. Within those 10 hours, I don't think about memes, but, meanwhile, I'm so experienced. I think from the idea to the finished meme, it's sometimes only 1 minute.
It's amazing. Like you, so good.
Can we just bring up the fact that you, in the last week, have released or opened a separate Facebook account purely for memes?
Yeah.
No.
Have you just changed your name?
No, I got a 30 days Facebook jail on my main profile.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well,
because of memes?
For bullying?
Because of memes.
Yeah.
Alibi Embedders.
Where, how have you been getting on? Yeah. How have you been getting on in the last year or so? How was your pando? How was it for you?
Yeah, like first, I thought this could be a really chance for the world to grow together, to stand together, to learn. But then everybody went stupid.
Right.
So especially in the trance scene.
Yeah.
Especially in the trance scene. Which is full of conspiracy theorists.
Yes.
Yeah, like we lost 50% of the audience.
Yeah.
If they can't come to the raves, and also for me personally, like where is my no money?
Yeah.
I love to spend money on stupid stuff like
t-shirts,
buying all my weekly stuff at the gas station, without thinking on money. And to be honest, all the money I wasted in the years before I was missing last year. Yeah.
Sure.
And I learned how to manage. I learned how to manage my life with less money. And I wrote like a 30 tracks album.
Did you really?
Amazing.
That's phenomenal.
Which I hopefully can release. Yeah, but 30 tracks, like now I'm on 21.
Yeah.
Because like I just like them. I collected them for years. And so I had the time to work on them. But of course I also had some month of writer's block, and there were some darker days.
Yeah, sure.
I didn't fall into a depression, but at some days I woke up and felt like a little bit, okay, maybe I should do something totally different. Yeah.
Yeah.
I always wanted to work with animals, so I decided to be a butcher. And no. And
did you actually?
Yeah, just.
But we've heard this because we've interviewed a few people now, and like that, we get this. We're hearing the same kind of pattern. I went through that myself as well. After having been working in music for 20 years, we all kind of went through this. I could do this. I could do. But am I that guy? Am I this guy? Can I actually do it though?
I just wanted to make this stupid joke. I always wanted to do something with animals.
And I'm just saying metaphorically. You know what I mean? Like, I'm using that example as a metaphor, obviously. But could you be this guy or that guy? You know, like it's very difficult to imagine yourself in.
I'm picturing Klopfgeister in the meat
with a meme on his apron.
Yes, yeah. A meme on the butcher's apron.
Yeah, but I was really envious for people who saw the possibilities of the pandemic.
Yes, sure. Yeah. Same. Me too. Yeah,
I have friends. They made millions with stupid masks. And how is this saying? Adapt or accept?
Yeah.
Adapt, overcome. Yeah, and I was like a little bit in a
fog.
In a shock.
Yeah,
but on the other hand, I'm also a little bit lazy, and I thought maybe I find a totally new direction.
Yeah.
For now, but I'm a fucked up artist for 20 years now.
Yeah.
So why should I change it? Yeah. But you guys have regular jobs.
Me? Yeah. No, I have a studio. That's what I do.
I do. I work in a office job.
But that's why it's fascinating for me to talk to other producers, because I was working part as a producer, but a lot of mixing records and stuff like that. And all of that work drifted away as well overnight. You know, the whole thing came to a halt. So it didn't help to have any job in music at one point. It was scary.
And I didn't want to write any dance music more.
Yeah, me too. Dance music. Yeah, I focused on a lot of other kind of stuff. Did you, what else did you write then? Did you write other stuff?
I helped other producers.
For
like songwriting, song structures, and also with lyrics. But it's like even some pop producers. But we need to open our circles. And
absolutely,
yeah,
because we are not young 20 years ago, only Psytrance. But now I think after years of only Beatport singles or single releases, which was enough to make me tour another year, people, when they listen to like 4 hours of Joe Rogan podcast, they can listen to 2 hours of my stuff.
So you have, so it's going to be released as a collection, and it's a story,
with a pathway.
I was listening to a lot of Wu-Tang Clan albums, and I really loved their approach. Like, okay, we have the kung fu theme,
and the skits in between. You'd be brilliant at doing skits. You should put skits in between your tracks.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah, but it's not actually when I make music. I'm not a comedian in music. I like to have fun.
I feel the same. Musically, I like serious music personally, and then everything outside of that can be a bit of a joke.
Yeah, like. The melodies I love, other people say it's sad, but I like this like a melancholic. I don't like happy melodies, so I'm rarely writing anything in major, but I love to write the saddest melodies ever, because I think they are beautiful. And yeah, let's see what people think. But I had to be honest, we should be all happy that we are not the only person who had problems in the last years. Yeah, imagine everybody is prospering and we are the only people who were suffering from something. Yeah, so this we are all in this together, this stupid saying, it really made sense.
Yeah.
Because yes, how are you doing? Oh, I'm shit, but it's okay because everybody is in the situation.
The In Bits podcast with Alibi and Bedders is now viral, but less impactful than the Delta variant.
I think that kind of all going through it together thing was part of what was, you know, astonishing and unique about this situation, right? That which is why you probably said maybe frivolously at the beginning that you thought maybe we could all learn something from this, because I felt the same way. And I have actually started to review personally, sort of review certain things that I hadn't done personally over the last 10 years in terms of, you
making
know,
banana bread.
Yeah, exactly. How to make the best curry.
Yes. You know. Yeah. All this typical quarantine stuff people started to do. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm just interested in that because I started taking a bit more of a look at, I don't know, what matters in terms of, I don't know, we call it a deeper level or whatever. I don't know if you experienced any of that over the last year at all, or was it just memes?
Yeah, how much meme time against studio were you?
Or self time, you know, self reflection. I think there was a lot of people doing a lot of self reflection over the last year and a half.
Yeah, but it's like I only do it when I'm forced.
Yeah, okay.
And as long as I have enough money to buy some beers and beep, it's. It's okay, yeah. And we people don't learn when the catastrophe isn't happen.
Yep. Yeah,
because it was like this was the worst pandemic ever. Because okay, we'll just sit home, get stoned and wait. I'm pretty good in this task.
Yeah,
in this topic. Yeah, and. But it was kind of funny when the lockdown in Germany ended and we were able to meet more people again.
Yeah.
In the first week, I was like, "Fuck, I don't want to meet anybody again."
Yeah, right.
Okay. I think most people had that social anxiety. You know.
Yeah. Now I understand what it is.
Yes.
And I never had this before. Yeah. And for my first meeting with other people again was like 2 hours with a limit, and then I went home again.
Yeah.
But of course, I'm really happy that I could work and earn money this year on good parties without masks. It was like really nice. And in Indian Spirit had 15,000 people without masks, but we had to make tests. And wow, this was really.
I was going to bring up Indian Spirit. I saw you played there, and it looked amazing. And
it was
crazy.
Next level for Europe after Boom.
Yeah.
Oh, was it really that good?
Yeah, I saw photos. It looked like one of the biggest festivals, as you say, after Boom, like crowd-wise and especially after the pandemic.
Yeah.
Go on.
And also was Illusive Festival in England, which I was happy because I never played that much in England. I was in England totally 3 times for playing.
Yep.
First time I met you,
yes,
in 2008. Then I played in Oxford, which was really shitty. And then,
what was shitty about it?
Yeah,
what did you go it? To? Because Oxford's quite a nice town.
Yeah, but doesn't mean the parties are good.
The promoter was such a hobo. We had to lend him $10 for the petrol money in the end.
Alibi and Bedders. What are they like?
Cunts.
Oh,
that fun German.
Let's take a break here.
Let's do it. I think we all need a breather. We, you know, caught up in the tornado that is Klopfgeister.
It's a long interview, this one.
Yeah.
But it's a cracker. But let's take a little break. Listen to a tune, maybe.
Let's do it.
What are we going to play, Mark?
Well, we've searched around for good tunes.
Yes, we have.
Turns out we're going to play Tom Baker again. He's three tracks in three shows. I think that's record form.
He's certainly the discovery of this season of our show.
Fucking beauty, Tom Baker.
New fan of the show, Tom Baker.
Yep.
He's been writing comments on SoundCloud. I tell you what, Australia, you're lucky to have him.
Yeah, very lucky.
We're really enjoying this music.
This track's called Coalescence. 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 Coalescence.
I don't know what's happening. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what's going on. Is that it?
Thank you. I'm Morgan Freeman. I'm currently on my holidays in Germany. I love this country, not only to get off my face in wild techno parties in Berlin, but also because in this language it's so much easier to say good morning. Guten Morgen, Freeman.
Whilst we're on the subject of the UK,
yeah.
obviously when you came and stayed with Hamish and I, well, over 10 years ago back in London,
I mean
we had quite the time. I remember I was going to an after party on the Sunday and having quite a loose time, to say the least. But I remember you talking to me at great length about your history with the UK party scene and how,
or music scene,
or the music scene, and how it had some influence on your sort of musical pathway. Things like, I remember you saying you used to travel over, correct me if I'm wrong, you used to travel over from Germany to go to things like Return to the Source, yes, trance parties like that.
As I have family in the UK.
And, I forgot about that, yeah.
In Weston Supermare and Bristol.
Devon, yeah.
And in Cheddar.
Cheddar. So I knew you sounded like a West Country boy, actually.
No. I sound like a German trying to speak English. This is actually my first live English interview, and I'm a little bit nervous.
It's great.
Oh, mate, you're doing well.
You're doing brilliant.
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to fishing this compliment.
You're welcome.
Germans love it.
You continue. Yeah. I'm going to get us another beer. I'll
be getting me a beer?
Yeah, I take one too, please.
Yeah, you were talking about your love of the English rave scene and how when you were much younger, you used to come over to England and go to raves, like Return to the Source specifically.
Like Tribal Gathering.
Yes.
It was an old rave in England.
You went to Tribal Gathering?
I'm an old fucker. I'm 45.
Well, so am I. I was there too, mate. It was an insane party. Yeah. That was the first of the big, beautiful raves, wasn't it, really, Tribal Gathering?
Yeah, and they also brought this concept to Germany, to Munich. So we also had a rave there, but it didn't work because it was too much happy hardcore and too much drum and bass for the Germans.
Right.
But then in 1995, the German rave scene was so commercial. It was the opposite of how I defined the techno movement. Yeah? And then somebody told me about a Goa party. I thought like Goa party is like a Hawaii party where you get some pineapples and these flower chains. Yeah. And I thought a Goa party, okay, what is a Goa? I was accidentally at one of the first Spirit Zone parties from the old label.
Yeah, of course.
And it was like in an old book manufacturing, and it took me half a year to understand the music or to like the music.
Yeah, yeah.
But I loved the vibes immediately. And yeah. My party heart found a second home at those parties. But I had nothing to do with hippies or stuff before. It really took me half a year to really understand the music.
I connect with that. Were you techno before that then? Because I it took me a good while as well. It probably took me a full year to really connect with that scene once I'd found it, because I was fully involved in techno and I guess house music and other kinds of dance music, like other 4/4 dance music, essentially.
I grew up next to Frankfurt, in a little village next to Frankfurt, and so I grew up in the Omen and in the Dorian Gray, and like the popular, like the Hacienda in England. The Omen was the club of Sven Veit,
which is where I grew up with the Hacienda in Manchester. Yeah.
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 Well, you still look good for this.
Thanks, bro. Yeah. I'm only a year younger than you. Like, I was still, I was going to Hacienda when I was 16.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I also went to parties when I was 15, 16.
Yeah.
Oh.
Alibi and Bedders.
There was one particular thing that I think you talked about with me about a week ago that happened when you came over to London and stayed with me and Hamish.
Do you remember the gin incident?
Incident.
The gin incident. we arrived to England, and you, your former girlfriend, and Hamish really welcomed us. And where should we stay? Okay, we stayed in a, like in a gated community next to the Chelsea Stadium.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, like, next to Stamford Bridge.
Pretty posh. Yeah, yeah. You should hang on to the. You should keep the friendship to this Hamish guy.
Yeah? Yeah,
yeah.
We still know and love him. Yeah, we're still there.
My former partner in crime and me was sitting in the house, and we had nothing to drink. But there was a full stash of bottles, like in the living room. And we didn't know how to escape this gated community because we didn't have any key or didn't know which number we were. So to come back in to with a security guard. Yeah, so we drank this bottle of gin accidentally. And
accidentally.
And then we refilled it with water.
Which is classic kid stuff, isn't it? It's what you do to your dad's drink cabinet.
Can we just reiterate, this was Hamish's mother's flat?
Yes, Hamish's mother's flat.
Yeah.
And yeah. Of course, you can do it with gin. You cannot do it with ouzo because it got like milky.
Yeah,
yeah. The consistency, yeah, you know it immediately. Yeah, and 2 years after the incident, I already forgot it. Of course, I got a call or like a message from Hamish, like, "Hey guy, probably it's the wrong guy to ask, but do you have any idea who changed the gin with water? Because my mom had some guests and they would say, wow, the gin really really tastes funny." And guilty as charged, yeah.
Guilty as charged.
I'm picturing that particular dinner party.
The situation, yeah.
Amazing.
My grandson recently introduced me to something called a podcast. Alibi Embedders or something like that. What a bunch of nonsense. When I were a lad, me and my brothers and sisters used to go out and eat brick sandwiches. Now that's what I call entertainment.
In 1995, I was just a record collector. I never thought about being a producer or a DJ. But of course, like a lot of us did, I bought some Technics
1210
copies. Yeah. The copies from Reloop, yeah. And I just started to DJing all the records I could get for the money I have. Yes, and but it was pre-internet times, and we had to wait like for 6 months before the imports got to Germany.
Sure, yeah.
And so I just decided to save some money, bought a flight case for records, and just we went to London and because in a German magazine called Front Page, there were some addresses from record shops in London.
Where did you go? Did you go Camden?
Yeah, Fat Cat Records.
Yeah, Fat Cat. Chockies. Chockies Tunes.
So Chockies Tunes. Yes, yeah,
there you go.
Zoom Records.
Yeah.
Which I really loved at those this time.
Fabulous. I used to make the same pilgrimage, but mine was from Manchester, so it was a train journey. It wasn't quite as far. But the same pilgrimage I used to make to come down to London and, same record shops.
Yeah, and I bought at I think 60 records.
Wow. Money bags.
yeah, and then I went to return to the source in Brixton Academy.
Yes, mate. I was probably there next to you. You probably gave me a massage. Yeah.
Tiger Balm, anyone?
Which was a pretty because I had a better breakfast in Brixton and in the area, and it was a really gangster area and. Yeah.
It's where I still live, mate. I still live Brixton.
Yeah, Mark's still there.
Yeah, but I think the times changed.
Yeah.
Also there, yeah.
No, but Mark's still a gangster.
Yeah, yeah, big time. Yeah. Big time.
gangster by heart. And this was like a groundbreaking experiences for me. and I was always connected to the UK music scene, and one of my favorite producers until this day is Youth.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like we know, he was like the mentor of Simon Pusford, and made this all possible. And I was pretty happy to have had a release last year on Youth label Liquid Sound Design, and I made a remix for Safi Brothers.
Okay.
Was at the time also my heroes.
Yeah, they were fantastic.
It's a nice milestone for you in your career.
Yeah. Yeah, and also one of the Safi Brothers is Gabriel Lemar, which became meanwhile like a really good friend, and the other one is Michael Kohlbecker. It was also like you know Earth Nation, the German act.
Yeah, sure. And, okay, there's the guys I saw them at Tribal Gathering. That was the guy with they had a real drummer playing an electronic kick, right? That was the only band I ever saw where the live drummer played the 4/4 kick, and it was bang on time. It was absolutely robotic. It was the only guys that I ever saw got away with that. Yeah, they were great.
Another one of your special videos downloading.
No. It's the tutorials how to make an offbeat.
Hollow offbeat.
Yes.
Alibi and Pedo.
In bits. I've made notes, Matt, after my last muck up. With the track pronunciation.
Okay.
So I thought...
Mark's been furiously scribbling on his on his notepad.
After I pronounced the name of Tom Baker's track, I thought I'd make a note of this one.
Okay, good. Before we announce that, more with Klopgeister interview after this.
This is...
Mark?
Ironically, as we had mixed communication there, this track is called Mixed Signals by Ardy and Sean Moses. I invite you all to take your top off.
Yeah. Go big or go home. Am I right, Betters?
You're not wrong.
Despite my age, I've decided not to take the vaccine. Instead, I've been self-dosing on dimethyltryptamine, otherwise known as DMT. It's worked so far, although I've been completely off my face. And also, my pussy loves it. Meow.
All right, it's time for our quick fire round at the end of the interview. These are a little bit silly, a little bit lighthearted. Some of these we've put together. Others we've lifted from the talented English comedic writer Matt Morgan because Bedders is too lazy. So join us as we go
down the rabbit hole with Klopfgeister, Oliver Kahn or The Hoff?
The Hoff.
Nice, yeah.
David Hasselhoffman.
Of course.
The inventor
Hoffman.
Of...
David Hasselhoffman.
Yeah, I love the combination of Albert Hoffman and David Hasselhoffman.
Yeah, David Hasselhoffman, yeah.
Super organism David Hasselhoffman.
It's wonderful.
So I made a meme with this. Yeah.
Maybe it's a new direction. Maybe we should leave Ricardo alone for a while. And go
yeah, But I think he will think we ignore him, or I ignore him then, yeah. Okay, go on, I like this.
Are there any more attempts to take over the world coming, or is Merkel not up to the task?
I should skip this answer. I watch a lot of World War II documentaries when I go to sleep. I always fall asleep after 20 minutes, and I always thought, oh, we have this shit. We won this shit, probably. Poland works well. France, let's go. Belgium, okay, yeah. Oh, let's go to Russia in September.
Oh, no.
Then I fall asleep, and suddenly I heard we lost the war.
There is that program, isn't it?
I'm really happy that we had Merkel, not Trump, in the last years.
Yeah, I just love that shot of her giving him the evil look. It's a beautiful one.
But on the other hand, Trump would be the only president I would like to have a beer with.
Definitely,
I agree.
He's got good stories.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he would be the only one who would be my mate in real life. But yes. I don't want him in responsible.
Definitely no.
I'm happy we had Merkel and not Boris Johnson.
I was going to say we've got Boris. So what is your go-to karaoke song?
I go full for Bohemian Rhapsody.
Nice.
Yeah, because when I do karaoke, I'm hammered. And when I'm hammered, I want to get hurt. And I know the lyrics of Bohemian Rhapsody. I know the Galileo part.
Yeah. So you could do that's where you come in strong. That's the Galileo part.
Yeah, crowd participation part as well.
Yeah, yeah. When I was asked in school who was Galileo, I just answered he was a poor guy from a poor family.
Yeah. Okay. Least favorite subgenre of psytrance.
I can understand every genre if I understand the heart which is made with.
Okay.
That's fair enough.
That's on the fence.
Now, that is a very good, solid and corporate answer. John Paul George Ringo. Who do you think had the biggest penis?
It's obvious.
Come on.
I would say Ringo because he looked nice.
That's what we think.
Agreed.
No, just why was it Ringo? Was I right?
Yeah.
Was I right?
No, we don't know.
We don't know. We haven't met them.
We asked ourselves that question. We think Ringo.
We agree, Ringo.
Because... just the pure character of him.
He's
just
got
suggests.
A Thomas the Tank Engine voice, isn't he? A deep voice.
He looks like a well-hung stable boy.
Yes.
Yeah, fair enough. Have you ever milked a cow, or any animal?
Yeah.
Define animal. No.
Next question.
Okay. Have you ever had a pedicure?
No,
fair okay. enough.
Close question.
I like this game.
Let's Should we ask him this one?
Yeah,
I think that might be
a good way of ending, actually.
Well, to finish the interview, because we're always interested, like, normally, I don't know, playing on stage, quite often strange things happen or whatever. Over your very storied, varied career and lengthy career, and what is the strangest thing or most embarrassing thing or whatever that you've seen whilst you're on stage?
I'm very curious about this with you.
If you have something you want to share with us.
Yeah, I was playing at a party and I was having the set of my life, mm-hmm. and everything was perfect. And suddenly in the middle of my set, I heard like a radio host asking for people's to call.
Okay.
And I put down all the faders on my mixer and there was still like German radio. On a Friday night.
And it's coming through the main PA, that's what you're saying?
Yes.
Wow.
And it was a frequency from the bouncer's...
radio.
From the bouncer's walkie-talkie.
Walkie-talkie radio, like, yeah.
Headphones. So I had a German radio station for 50, 60-year-old people.
What kind of music was it?
Bit Oompa Oompa? Was it offbeat?
No, it was just like Phil Collins and
amazing.
Turner and people were thinking, what is he up to
yeah,
now?
Yeah, he's doing something
tricky.
They thought it was
on purpose, but I had all the faders down on my mixer. I even switched off the mixer. The music was still going, and after 3 minutes, the people started booing, it was really. Really, really embarrassed, and people came to me. Hey, the music stopped. Yeah, I know. I know. I'm there, and then I had to stop. I had to stop my set. It was the first time ever I had to stop my set.
Stop a set, yeah.
And I told them after I found out what was the story behind. Please make a Facebook post immediately that the people don't think.
Yeah.
You played Phil Collins.
That you were trying to do something experimental and it didn't work, essentially.
But not 3 minutes. It was like a quiz show like this. Okay, yeah, if you call this number, who do you want to dedicate the rose to? And hey, here we have Sylvia 24, and I was just standing and the club was full, like it was like 1,000 people full, and I was the headliner.
Wow.
Amazing.
Just caps it off. Yeah. That's fabulous.
And the other one, happened, not on stage, but it happened on Soul Vision when I met you in 2010 in Berlin.
Is that when we met? Because I remember meeting you, but like you say, we were probably disorientated at that time. I don't remember. I don't remember where it was, but I remember meeting you and hanging out with you. But I don't know which country it was, which party it was. I've got no idea. So it was Soul Vision. It was that party,
Soul Vision.
All right.
In the middle of the jungle.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
We had
in
like
Brazil,
like little chalets.
That's
where
right.
Where we stayed.
Yeah. I was with I think John Monkman at that one. Chris Hansen. I think Trista was. I think.
Yeah.
Go on, please.
And somebody died on this festival.
Oh, really?
I mean,
really?
So it's a bit of a bummer to end
and,
the.
I'm hoping that's not the story.
This is the story. Yeah. Like.
Did you kill them? I mean, what?
At least.
No, but. The securities tried to escort him out without the others noticing. No, this is so.
He
was sitting on two chairs, like two camping chairs.
Oh God!
Why are we laughing?
I think I remember this now. It's jogging a memory. Yeah. So they basically did a faulty towers with
the dead
guy. They
did a faulty towers. Yeah.
Yeah, they tried to like cart the dead. He's fine.
He's fine. Don't worry about him. Carry on.
No, it was like more like the Holy Grail. Bring out your dead.
Oh my God.
Okay, we should
Klopp, guys.
We've hit a level. But this was the most fun. We could talk to you all night, obviously.
You could literally carry on for hours.
I know, we could, but because I've got more to ask you as well, but we got to crack on. I mean, this editing is going to take me 2 months.
Yeah.
We've done an hour and 12 minutes.
Mate, yes. Thank you so much. We've wanted
this
you
was
on.
Amazing,
we've wanted
mate.
You on for since we've started this show. Do you have a track in mind that you'd like us to maybe play?
Yeah,
next?
We'd love to play a tune of yours.
That you'd like, you, that you would like to introduce.
Yes, it's the least track you would await from me. It's called Klopfgeister and the track is called There Were Here Before Us.
Mate,
thank you very much.
Love you,
Torsten.
Man. Thank you
yeah,
so much.
Yeah, we love
much.
You. I hope to see you soon.
See you soon. Thanks for the opportunity. I love you too, guys.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
Lots of love, man. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Was a show.
yeah, it was.
Thanks very much to Klopfgeister.
What a legend.
What a superstar.
He is everything that you imagined him to be, isn't yep. he, for an interview.
And he's open.
Open, honest, funny. He's just great. Yeah. Okay, let's get the hell out of here and we'll just get ready for next week's holiday extravaganza. So, plugs, Alibi and Bedders, follow us obviously on social media. You've got to check out Bedders' lovely photos from Voga. Incredible pictures and video content. Is there video?
There is a time-lapse video.
Amazing stuff. Like, you're going to shit yourself when you see Bedders.
You're going to shit Christmas baubles, yeah.
Join us next week with eggnog, Bailey's, mince pies, whatever you need to forget about this situation we find ourselves in. Do remember, if anyone in your life loves music production, perhaps idealnoise.com, you can be able to order gift vouchers for that special someone who loves music production. If they're not up on the website, I've failed. So please just DM us, email us, idealnoiseuk@gmail.com or hello@idealnoise. Something like that. You'll be able to get in touch with us and we'll be able to sort that out. Have I forgot anything, Bedders? What else have we got?
I don't think there's much else to give after an interview with Klopfgeister like that.
Well, let's get out of here then and end the show with the wonderful Klopfgeister. They were here before us. Have a great week and we'll see you in bits.
greatest value that I hold is respect. To have respect for each and everything. The trees, the birds, the ants. Have respect for them. Because they were here before us.
I took the shirt especially for this.
Can you expose your t-shirt a bit more? You open your jacket up.
Yeah, what is this?
Sex and drugs and sausage rolls.
That's wonderful.
you're well known for your t-shirts, actually, mate. That's a classic.
That is fabulous.
That's a classic. You've got
not for anything else than for the t-shirts. Yeah.